had to take the screens out by myself. So he took them out in April already, then he put us back in our bedroom because we always have the window open there. And this, every time I open, you're supposed to be taking your nap. The other day, what was it? Oh, I saw a commercial. Which ones are open all night?
Well, that's right, but Dr. Levy told you so.
Yeah, you go there anyway.
Did they have a computer that had filled in Crystal Lake?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're going. I'm not sure what to ask first.
What did you do in the war, Daddy?
The only thing I was going to think of to say was, what kind of things did you do personally, to help?
The war effort?
Yeah, I know.
She had daughters.
I gave blood.
Uh-huh.
Tell them about Kathy's baby shoes. What year that was?
Oh, yeah. Well, she was about a year old, and she was still wearing her first pair of shoes because she had such little feet, and you needed ration coupons to get new shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to every shoe store between here and Park Ridge, and I couldn't get shoes for her, and her little shoes are all beat up, and the holes where the laces go were torn. She had to wear them so long.
Oh,
and, you know what I did with too, I helped register people for sugar rationing. That was the first thing that was rationed.
Oh.
And we did it at the one-room school, and Arlene went, at Rand and Dundee, the Kitty Corner School.
Yeah.
And that was the first, thing that was rationed was the sugar.
Is that
in
41? Right.
I'm no good at dates, but it was right in the beginning, probably right after,
It probably wouldn't happen now because of sugar beets.
They had sugar beets at that time, too, but I guess one of the reasons they rationed things was they knew from the First World War that people would hoard things. And when Kathy was a baby, you had to have coupons for the baby food too, and like canned milk. The girl next door, her baby was on carnation milk, so whenever anybody saw carnation canned milk, they'd buy it for her, and then she'd pay them back with the coupons. And I had my aunts picking up baby food for Kathy because you couldn't get all the kinds you wanted. And Papa didn't get drafted because they considered his business delivering fuel oil and gasoline was essential to the war effort, but we couldn't get anybody to work for us because unless you worked in a defense plant or you were in some vital industry like that, you would get drafted. So all the guys were working where O'Hare is now was Douglas Aircraft. And depending on your ages and that, our family, Merritt was married and we'd already had Marlene and that before the war came along. But my Aunt Bertha, she had two boys in the service and a son-in-law. One was an airplane pilot. He flew a big bomber. And when they were flying over Germany, they got shot at, and the thing got so badly damaged that they flew on to Sweden, which was neutral.
Yeah.
And they were kept there, but it wasn't like being a prisoner of war or anything. And then
either side, wasn't it? If you landed there, you couldn't go back in the war because it was neutral, but you weren't.
So until he had to stay there until they got a chance, then they shipped them home, but then he couldn't partake in the war anymore.
Yeah.
So guys were heading for Sweden, and all the documents.
Yeah, that was the best place to land if you could make it, you know, if you're...
Or Switzerland.
You land there and then you go back to your own country or something?
Well, you'd have to stay there until they, you know, I suppose the diplomats had to have some exchange and then they'd ship you home. Because he was there, I think, a couple of months or more. And ironically, then he got killed in a plane crash just here, flying a simple, you know, thing. So.
During the war, the Depression happened.
Oh, that was after.
After the war.
You know, my cousin Chuck.
Maybe during the war, it would be okay.
Oh,
they were trying to grow food and. Everybody had tell them about Victory Gardens.
Oh, yeah,
Victory. I thought that was World War
I. No, that was World War II.
Yeah.
Rolly used to always talk about that they would plow up people's yards for Victory Gardens, you know. And I don't know if that was, I suppose maybe it was during the war that we decided to raise pigs. And we had just 4 pigs, and they were as much trouble as if we'd had 94. We always laughed about the one time when Grandpa Bill came home from work. They were always getting out on us. And Papa had even put rings in their noses so they can't root, you know, but they would always manage to get out. And Grandpa Bill comes home with his nice overcoat and everything on for getting off the train from Chicago, you know. And here he starts running around with us chasing the pigs, and he steps in a hole and falls down. And the rest of us, you know, we were having fits, and he was cussing up a blue streak.
And he never did find one of them.
Yeah.
No, they figured a hungry neighbor.
Yeah, got it.
Tell them what a Victory Garden is.
You know, just like these guys out here, you know, growing little patches like that, because, you know, everything was rationed and so much stuff had to be sent to the armies and that food was in short supply. I was going to tell you about my cousin Chip, talk about somebody being in the war. He was in the Battle of the Bulge and he was billeted in people's homes in Belgium, you know, when they were fighting. And that was the one time when the Americans had a retreat and they had to just grab whatever they could and get the heck out of there, and years later he went to Belgium and he saw the people that he had stayed with, you know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Wouldn't you try
things
like making soap?
Oh, yeah, Grandma. Grandma and I was just scared, petrified. You know, you used lye,
mm-hmm.
and it would boil and everything. You had to be real careful. You didn't take your own skin off before and after you made the soap. we lined a wooden box with a cloth of that, and then you say, well, that was another thing. You took your grease to the butcher, and then they dumped it in barrels and stuff and gave you, something back. I don't know, I can't remember what that was anymore, but that was your patriotic effort too, you know, helping to conserve grease and that, and then we saved some grease ourselves and made the soap with it, you know.
Wonder what they use that in munitions or just making soap?
I suppose making soap and things like that. I don't really know. I suppose it's like everything with the war effort, so much was being shipped away.
Mm-hmm. Was there did you ever have any blackouts?
Only practice.
Arrogant.
Yeah,
we had the gas station in those days, and one time then they were practicing, everybody had to turn everything off, and we were sitting on the islands between the pumps looking, you know, there would be some patrol car or something go down the road to see, you know, if everybody's lights were off and that. But otherwise, I guess on the coast, so they practiced more of that. I know, like, on the west coast, they were more paranoid about
the
Japanese,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. Oh yeah, everybody listened to him, and everybody imitated Ma Frames. He said, you know, his Eastern accent. Made fun of poor old Eleanor because she was one of the first women that really went around all over. She even went down in a coal mine, you know, and all that. And before that, president's wives were, you know, just typical homebodies kind of, you know.
Having tea and cake.
Yeah.
As a young woman, she had worked in a settlement house in New York. She was a wealthy family. She's like a second or third cousin of President Roosevelt. They were a couple cousins once removed. And they were wealthy from Long Island. You know. But she worked in a settlement house when she was a young woman, and that was considered, oh my dear. Do that.
My cousin Gert's husband was like a medic in the army, and he was over in Burma and all those tropical places, you know, that when you'd want to send him something for Christmas or for his birthday or something like that, you didn't know what to send him because it would spoil because, you know, the tropics, it was so hot and everything.
Alcohol and problems. Yeah. Remember that song of Eric Vogel, my daughter got married and went her own way. My sons lie buried by the Burma Railway.
What song is that? I don't remember.
The Cocky Pond.
Oh, man. What nation was he from?
He was German general, but he was both speaking against what they were, the Jews in the concentration camps, and his documentary, they were interviewing his son, and he said, you know, two guys came in a black car and took him, and he said last words to his wife and his son, you know, and after that, they put out and had a big state funeral for him, but...
Well, you know, the first driver Papa got for the truck, the tank truck, was Dick Thame that lived across the street from us. He was German, and he had fought in the German army on the German side in the First World War. And he thought he wouldn't be able to get a job with his German accent and that you know, people would all be against him and that, because I guess during the First World War, people were really, you know, down on anti-German.
People changed their names, from B-R-A-U-N Brown to B-R-O-W-N.
So he was real glad to get the job, but then later on he start looking to get in business for himself when he realized he wasn't in jeopardy because he was a German, you know. See, that's where they differed. They treated the people of German descent and that all right, but yet they, you know, rounded up all the poor Japanese on the West Coast.
Well, that was because they struck first like that. Europe.
Also, they were also concentrated kind of in one spot in California, you know, so many on the West Coast.
It's definitely a racial thing.
We had prisoners of war around here.
Hmm?
Are there in the war? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember where they stayed, but they had some. I think they had them working on farms and stuff too, you know, just to...
That's strange, sure.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about this stuff in years.
Were you afraid Daddy was going to get drafted when that guy who was 37 was
there? You know what? 1A was that you were next to be drafted. And we didn't have a cash register in the gas station. We used to use a cigar box or something, you know. So we went downtown, big deal, to buy our first cash register. And when we got home, we went, got the mail out of the mailbox, and he was in 1A.
Wow.
And we thought, oh no, here we went and spent $100 on a cash register, you know. But then you would get reclassified according to, you know, how the war was going or how desperate they needed men. But I told your mother that the neighbor across the street from us had about 3 kids, and he was 37 years old, but he was a plasterer. He wasn't in any war time job. And he got drafted.
If you were a mechanic for that, you could probably get a job, like she said, at Douglas.
So many people worked at Douglas Aircraft during that time.
Let's go see that movie Swing Ship about Goldie Hawn, all the women going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's yeah, I think they did.
That's
yeah.
What we learned about. What about the newsreels,
the,
like the propaganda and stuff, movies?
This has nothing to do with our interview, but see the Indians? They come down here and go walk through the woods there. See the one with the long dress?
It's probably beautiful for that.
Yeah. The other day I laughed, I told you there was a little, I think it was a girl, had a blue outfit with silver things in it, and I said, I better relative send her that, you know.
Yeah, they think nothing of dressing boys in pink or shocking pink, you know.
Well, it made me think of when we used to stuff him into whatever they sent him. He was too big for it usually,
we
picture nets last time you'd wear with your little impy Gnomey shoes,
yeah.
And you'd look so sad when they took your picture. I'm like, look what they've done to me.
My pants were real tight in the leg, and then they were full, and hips almost
like
Jodhpur's. And the little toes, you saw the your foot was, you had it practically bent over like that just while we were taking the pictures.
Break your toes to get the shoes.
And the hat too was so small. I think I had it on your head with Bob, or else I balanced it and it kept falling off.
Did you see the other day in Bombay, was it, that the Muslims and the Hindus were rioting again? I thought, oh, that will go on forever too.
We had Gandhi, we got it from the library in our house again. Wonderful movie.
Did we watch it?
I didn't get to see it, no.
Did you watch the whole thing of it?
No, so we always tell Pop and Grandma our video recording gets smaller, so we don't have much room on it.
I told him that's what I want next Christmas. Yeah, it's just the story of my life. Whenever I really want to watch something, I have to go away, you know.
Yeah, you try ours out, they've got extra things on them now that you can get. We like the remote control because you can zap through commercials, you know, when you've recorded a show. You know, somebody just come in the room, they miss something, you can back up
when Arlington Federal was having all this business with their TVs and that, we didn't have enough at one time otherwise a video recorder was, you know, one of the things you could have got that, I don't know, you had to have 25,000 or something, you know, to play around with. And we were laughing, as it is, we got a black and white 12-inch and a 13-inch colored, because we just happened to have some that came due, and then, what's their names out on Rand Road, had to pay their, well, you know, they pay every year on buying the Rand Road place, so I said to Papa, too bad we couldn't have got it all together and got a video recorder instead. But we can, our little TV, black and white TV finally had gone on the bum, so we'll have a decent one to leave out there, and then we can take one of the colored ones for the summer, you know.
Yeah.
Because we always don't like to leave a good one up there for fear if somebody breaks in, that'd be the first thing they'd take. That in the microwave.
Yeah.
I was all set to buy a little color TV for $300. It can be used as a computer monitor. Because we're thinking in the next 6 months or so we're going to get a computer. We're waiting until fall.
Brady's got one like that. Every once in a while I get over and watch Patrick for a few minutes. Last week he was sleeping and she wanted to run to the she goes to the butcher shop in the Oasis. She says he has very good liver on Thursday, you know. So I went over and stayed with, and naturally he woke up about 5 minutes after she left. Eat everything,
oh, okay.
Because if you don't eat it, I will, and I'm not supposed to.
Oh, okay.
And there's one more hot dog.
I brought a computer home this weekend. From work, you can borrow them, and I could borrow others, but I couldn't get it home on the train. It would be hard to do. But maybe I could bring it without the monitor, because you hook your little TV up to it. Anyway, this one I brought home, it's in a briefcase, about this. And it's got interconnection for the telephone. There's two systems at work that we use that we dial into the program, you know, by the phone. So Friday night I fell asleep real early and I woke up about 2 a.m. and was fiddling around with this computer. I made about 4 calls to New York and 2 to Chicago, and I couldn't, it said in there something about that you have to know the parameters of theirs and then you can set yours to it, and I didn't know what the parameters were on those. The next time I bring it home, I'll see if I can find out how to hook up the parameters in it. But it was funny. I was playing with it. The keyboard is like this, you know, and the screen is right here, only about that big, and it's all fixed in the briefcase. I've got an adapter. You can run on 4 AA batteries. Because it's got the liquid crystal printout, doesn't use much energy at all, and or you can plug it into an outlet. That's kind of how some of it. Andy and I were each able to put something in it. He knows BASIC, and one of the things, it understands the BASIC computer language, so he was telling me how to do that, and how we got rid of the program. Kill something, run, you know. So it was a bad weekend to bring it home because he had to work both yesterday and today. And I'm going back to Kansas. Going to Kansas City tomorrow and then doing Friday.
Oh yeah? What's doing in Kansas City?
I got a meeting Wednesday and Thursday. All day Tuesday.
Well, because everybody lived out in the country where our gas station was, everybody got, and then so many, like I said, were working at the Douglas Aircraft Plant, so they all had plenty of gas. They would, if you were working at the in a defense industry, they would, I forget how it was, ABC or something, you had it pasted on your windshield what category you were in, and most of the people that were working there, they had more darn gas than they they needed, and then they'd, at when the end of the period would come, they would still had coupons, and they'd want Papa to take them, and then like they could get gas if they needed it. Well, you know, you only have that much tank space. You can't do stuff like that. And they'd get half mad at them, you know, to say nothing about being crooked at the same time, you know. But there they had more darn coupons than they could use, and yet they'd make a big to-do about it, you know. And the slogan was, is this trip really necessary? You know, that you weren't supposed to do any joyriding and that, only use your car when it was necessary to go to work and stuff, you know. And one time, you know, he delivered to gas stations, and that there was an old guy out on the Northwest Highway near Barrington, and he gave him the fakest looking coupons that somebody had counterfeited, you know. And, you know, you just, you know, USO groups visiting the Army bases, and then they, in New York, they had the canteen where the soldiers and that went, and boy, they'd be dancing with Broadway stars and everything, and then in Hollywood, the same way, everybody was doing their patriotic duty. There were a lot of, like Clark Gable, he was quite, you know, up in years, and he went and went in and, you know, didn't take any special privileges. The only thing I read about was that he had a denture, and he took an extra set of false teeth along, and, you know, he's afraid something would happen to him, you know, and that. But they said he really, you know, went through all the strenuous training and that.
There was an article, somebody was writing their memoirs about that, and how he met Clark Gable, but Clark Gable was sitting there out in the marsh somewhere, and he was sitting there, and his blistered on his feet. They spent the night in a foxhole or whatever, and talking, and he talked about losing his wife, you know. That's when he joined the Army after she died. This guy writing, you know, he was an average guy, you know, grieving for his wife, and sitting there with the nursing his blisters.
When the first draft they had, I forget how that was, they had numbers in a glass bowl, and they brought out the number, and then the next day in the paper was a list of all the guys in the Chicago area that, you know, had that number, and one of them was a guy that used to go out with my friend Helen's sister Marie. And he was always kind of an oddball anyway. And we got such a kick out of, you know, reading his name in the paper for old and he had such a German name, Reinhold Kiechler. But they sent him on the, he was one of the first guys drafted, and he was on the West Coast kind of, you know, guarding things until everything simmered down, you know.
Figured he'd fight Japanese,
yeah,
maybe not
the Germans, yeah. The Japanese too, there were so many, you know, second generation Japanese, and they had like a whole battalion of them or something
in
Italy,
yeah,
you know.
So they wouldn't get confused with the
Marv Sunderlich was in Italy too, and he always laughs about they had toilets right in the middle of the street, like he said, and you know, the American soldiers, they were so modest kind of, and that, and these Italian women would be talking to the Italians and laughing and that, because I think the things were, you know, didn't go all the way to the ground or that, and it was right in the middle of the street or something, so it was over a manhole or something, I don't know, but he always laughed about that. He said, you know, here they were, they felt so funny, and these women were laughing at them, you know. He always said he wished he could have brought home the pair of binoculars. They had such good binoculars in the Army, you know, and all that stuff had to be turned in. That's where his boy, we didn't realize this boy's name was Warren until he was getting confirmed. They always called him Joey. And then Marv was drafted. He was in Colorado at a military base there, and Vi came out. They were married, and she was expecting the baby, and the people she boarded with, they always referred to the baby as G.I. Joe. So that's how he got the nickname Joey. And that was a case after the war, too, when we took a trip to Colorado. He had been stationed at Camp Hale, and they were supposed to tear up some other camp, and they tore up and bulldozed Camp Hale down by mistake. And Marvin felt so bad about it because he would have liked to, you know, visit it with that. And that was one of those big boners that they tore down the wrong base.
Did this happen
right after
the war?
Yeah, after the war, then they had all these military bases and that. You know, well, you know, just like out by us, like with the Nike sites and all that, now they're all passe, you know. They're a drug on the market. They can't even sell the land nobody wants them. Yeah. So. Yeah, well, that probably eventually will. I just saw something on TV the other day, like a couple living in there, and then he's got a little, like a machine shop, and his own business, too, and they used
the... Yeah,
it's all underground, you know.
That's really, the Air Force Academy was built in Colorado, late 50s, early 60s, it was more modernistic, and the chapel has got some...
Yeah.
Fire or something in that, and the cadets call it the Nike Jesus.
That's really interesting to see, and in the front where when they serve communion or that to kneel, all the officers' wives made needlepoint cushions.
Oh.
Yeah, it was quite classy. And then they had one section was for the Jewish, and we saw that when we were out in Colorado. Can't think of anything now.
Didn't the newspapers and the women's magazines have little helpful hints on patriotic?
Yeah, you would get recipes for making cakes, and you couldn't always get that either with pudding mix, you know, and then you wouldn't have to use up your sugar, and like the coffee, you would say you take 1 pound of coffee and 1 pound of postum, you could get the, there wasn't much instant yet at that time. And you'd mix that together, and it would make your coffee go farther, and all kinds of hints like that, because things were rationed. Not really. And if you were raising bees, you would get an extra ration of sugar, because, you know, when you take the honey away from the bees, you have to give them some sugar water in return so that they can live over winter, you know. So you could get, if you were raising bees, you could get a little extra ration of sugar.
So Grandma raised bees by my auntie.
She had already had some, But because we didn't use sugar in our coffee and that, we never ran out of sugar. But like Grandma Childs and them, they were all great putting sugar in their tea and they used more sugar than we did. And Grandma Giles, too, always drank green tea before the war. And during the war, you couldn't get the green tea. I suppose that came from China. So she had to learn how to drink black tea. And then after a while, they never went back to the green tea. You know, they got used to it. I never liked the green tea. I had a funny taste. I thought it always tasted fishy to me. know why I had that much in mind.
One is supposed to be healthier, and this is what the British drink. And they put milk in it, which neutralizes the tannin, but then they ruin it all, they put sugar in. They do two things really healthy, and then I was reading about this. So telling you how to drink your tea, that would be healthier.
Yeah, I know, I've heard that too, that if you put milk in it, then that it neutralizes something.
Well, you think you got enough for
it? Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to be that much.
You have to edit.
Yeah,
edit
and it. I have to go through and...
Oh, no. Maybe grandma's got a couple of sheets of milk to put in the car, because I have to go get my prescription.
Cousin Chuck is in Georgia nowadays. Like I said, he was directly in the war in the Battle of the Bulge, and then in Europe. And Gert is divorced from her husband, who was in the South Seas in Burma and what have you. But, you know, you could get more war, actual war experiences from somebody like that.
His name is Bodwin.
Bodwin.
He's
kind of like Cajun. They came from Louisiana. His brother comes and sees Gert once in a while. You know, he lost his wife, and his kids are all grown now. I guess he's got one kid yet in college, but they had, I don't know, about seven kids or something. And during the time his wife was going for treatment for her cancer and that, another friend of theirs, the husband, had cancer too. So they, the other lady and him, they'd take turns. They drove to Mayo with them and that. And then after the two with cancer died, then later on they got married. So he married again and got a nice wife. And every once in a while he pops up and sees Bert, you know, drops in.
I didn't know Andy Kaufman had died until somebody mentioned it in a paper Friday. We were talking about something else and mentioned it in passing.
Yeah, I saw it on the news. On TV.
We haven't been watching TV, but I buy a paper every day.
It's getting dark in here, isn't it?
Is that guy walking a cat or a dog? That's a schnauzer.
The window now so you don't get bugs.
That name Blew It, or on Real People, someone sent a picture of a street named Blew It, and above it was Nixon, so it's Nixon Blew It.
The corner.
Blew It's brother's name was Reno, you know, real French, means fox in French. A-U-G at the end.
I used to say Blew It to the
thing. I don't know Blew It.
Andy was saying about final dress with the umlaut over the end. Yeah. What was that group? What did they call it? The Motley Crue?
Motley Crue, yeah.
And they've got it spelled by how's Crue spelled?
C-R-U-E.
And they've got
that's what I thought too. He looked like Ringo, huh?
And I think the girl was supposed to be like Yoko.
Yeah, and kind of manipulating all the time, you know. Rob Reiner is a lot heavier now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I was sort of disappointed when he and Penny Marshall broke up. I thought they seemed like kind of down to earth than that, but Hollywood gets them off.